So today, I have a hard question. It's going to seem like a very easy question. You're going to all get the answer right. You're probably already thinking right now and you got the answer. But it's one of those questions that you really have to delve into. It's one of those questions where you got to get really honest about it. It's one of those questions that had to deal with priorities on an ongoing basis. Who do you try to please? I love it. The Lord Jesus. There's the easy answer. Living it out. Day by day, moment by moment, is not so easy. Let's be honest. We like to please people, don't we? We like people to like us. I think sometimes we're perpetually in high school trying to get accepted. I know I am. I know at the workplace I was always trying to make sure I did everything, make sure my bosses liked what I did, make sure my employees liked it even better, and I was stuck in the middle, and nobody was happy, and they're all looking at me like, why aren't you sticking up for us, and why aren't you making them work? Squeezed. But I'll please you, I'll please all of you. And yes, the easy answer, if I just would have had that wisdom back then, I just needed to please God. I think of my dear friend Sharon. And Sharon would walk into the general manager's office and tell the boss of the company that you're not my boss. I'll do whatever we need to do for this company. I will support you. I will do everything we need to make this grow, but you're not my boss. I only have one boss. And they respected her so much for that. My dear friend Sharon. Sharon, man, I could talk about Sharon all day. Sharon is the kind of person, man, when she'd walk into a building and she would see the person at the reception desk, she'd go over and say, hi, how you doing? What's going on? And the person picking up the garbage, hey, how's your life going? Can I help you a little bit? And she would be the one to go do the PSA so that we could show the need of the community, of these people who want some help. So she'd advertise on our airways for free. She got that great job of public service announcements. It's a great job as far as the results, but it's a lot of work. But that was Sharon. That was her heart. But see, Sharon had a reverence for God. She told me one time she had to do a message. She had to do a sermon. She had to get up in the church and she had to prepare. Man, she was preparing all week. She was shaking in her boots about that I'm going to speak the word of God. And I got to get this right. Now, I wasn't there because I had to be somewhere else at my church at that day and at that moment, but I know she did an amazing, amazing job. Because she had her priorities straight. The only one that she was trying to please at that pulpit was God Himself. The only one that she wanted to please in my boss's office was God Himself. And then, you know, we haven't even gotten to the hard stuff yet. We haven't gotten to the hard one. Who do you try to please? If it's not God, and if it's not all the people, who might it be?
Yourself.
Me. I remember when I was doing youth and we would have this little diagram of a little throne up there on the stage. And on this throne, on this stage, you have a choice of who gets to sit on the throne. Is it going to be me? Or is it going to be Jesus? And again, it's an easy answer, right? But in a day-to-day, minute-by-minute, moment by moment, it's not so easy. Because we are trying to please ourselves, we're trying to please others. And that's just the way it is. That's just natural. And that's okay. It's got to do with who do we put on the throne first? And where do we position ourselves? And do we understand that by positioning ourselves on our knees before that throne is the most powerful position that we could get? Jesus came as a servant to serve others. I've been reading that book, and that really hard book about from A.B. Bruce from 1897, I think it was written. It's old. It's got words in there. If I spent the time looking up all the words, I wouldn't even be able to read the book because it's every sentence has these words I don't understand. But they are very profound and they're old school. But he's explaining the heart of Jesus to his disciples and how Jesus is trying to explain to them, trying to tell them that he has to go to that cross, that he has to die, and they just don't get it. They are totally clueless. Now that's not the language he uses. He uses much more profound language than that. They are dismayed. And he goes even deeper than that. But they don't understand that Jesus is saying, look, I came to serve. I am a servant to my Father. And your highest place in this kingdom that it's not about who's going to sit on that throne with me, it's who's going to kneel next to that throne with me. Who do you try to please? It seems like a simple question. It's got the pat answer that I want to please God, I want to please Jesus. But it's not so simple in the execution, if we're going to be honest. At TV20, I had to please my boss or I wouldn't have a job. I had to please the people underneath me or I'd have a riot on my hands. I had to please myself just to survive. And it's never easy. And for those of you with children, who are you trying to please? And those of you with grandparents and parents, who are you trying to please? Those of you with friends, who are you trying to please? It's like everywhere. But if we could just focus for even a moment on just pleasing God, all the rest of it would fall in place like dominoes. Everything else would just fall in place. Let's get into the scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 through 8. Again, Paul talking to the church of Thessalia. You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. You know, I was just having this conversation. God is so funny. Because I was just having this conversation Thursday night with Rob. And we were talking about, like, why do we do this? You know, why do we keep doing this? Why do we keep doing church? What is the point? What is the results? What are we getting out of this? This is a lot of work. I talked about my friend over at Evanswood. They got $90,000 on their roof. I don't even know what our number is going to be. But why do we keep doing this? Why do we keep striving? And I love my friend Rob, and him and I are getting so tight. And you know what he said to me? Because God told us to. I love that answer. We don't got to get into all the philosophy. We don't got to get a tally sheet. We don't have to do any of that. It's God told us to do this. We're trying to please God because God told us to do this. Therefore, we're going to do this. Well, David, I need your...
That's my dog.
That's why Noah built the ark, because God told him to. That's why Moses went to the Pharaoh, because God told him to. We had that conversation too. So you know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. And not only did God tell us to, boy, oh boy, oh boy, do we get results. We have a ripple effect like we wouldn't believe. We are affecting more people than we can imagine. We won't find that out until we leave here. I believe that's going to be part of our crown. And I even found scripture that says that my crown is going to be the people who come to the Lord Jesus, and not just who give me a confession, but anyone I have poured into, any little movement I have made, anything that I have done, any of that 1,000 touches it took for that one individual to have a better relationship with God the Father and finally make that commitment. That's what that baptism is about. That baptism is about is making that commitment and saying, you know, I'm all in. And that baptism, what that's really all about is telling everybody else, not just on the beach, but all of our friends, all of our relatives, all of our church, everybody, that I'm in. I'm in Christ. This is me now. It's a whole new ball game now. And that baptism is only a start. See, we make that mistake sometimes. We get people to that place of baptism and then we leave them. We can't just leave them. Man, they're just getting started. They're just beginning that journey. Jesus, man, when he gets baptized, right after that, it's on. The fight's on. He goes to the wilderness. The fight's on. The Pharisees are after him. The fight is on. He is moving. He is healing. He is raising the dead. He is exorcising demons. The fight is on. Like it or not, we are in a fight. We are in spiritual warfare. It's an ongoing basis. We get results every moment of every day. We haven't even talked about the results within. Because when you do the work for the Lord, man, you just get blessed. And blessed. I think of my friend Shaquinia. Man, Shaquinia had some hard times. She had me proofread her book. I couldn't read it. It broke my heart. I got through 2 chapters of that thing and I couldn't go any further. And it was all true. She's had some hard, rough times in her life. But man, look at her. She's moving on to a PhD, a doctor in psychology at Fuller Theological Seminary, one of the top-notch seminaries in the country, is looking at her. And then I told her back when I saw her at TV20, she's my intern, I told her she's going to have a stadium of people that are going to hear her. I just saw it. And now we're watching it come to fruition. But I'm going to tell you, it was a school of hard knocks. It was challenges like you wouldn't believe. It was hardships you wouldn't wish on your worst enemy. And God took all of it and turned it and blossomed it into this amazing woman of God. Many of you were here when we celebrated with her. This place was on fire with the Holy Spirit, moving through her, continuing. We had previously suffered, speaking of suffering, and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. So what's happening in Thessalonica is all these people are coming. Remember I told you it was a port town. It's very prosperous. There's lots of money. There's a whole bunch of different gods. They have all kinds of different statues. And they have all the Jewish religion, the old time religion. And so they got all this coming against them as they're trying to birth this new church. And nobody wants it. They're all trying to shut it down. They're all trying to stop it down. And they got this strong opposition. And you know, Paul saying, you know, I was just in Philippi and the same thing happened. Everywhere we go, let's say this persecution comes on us. But you know, if it wasn't for Philippi and Thessalonica, we wouldn't have the United States of America. We wouldn't have England. We wouldn't have Canada. We wouldn't have the movement of God across this world right now if it wasn't for these small little areas that Paul went to first. And he says, I was treated outrageously. Outrageous means that they were dragging him in the street. They want to throw him in jail. They want to torture him. That's outrageous. That's what he means by outrageous. And so for him, it was a reprieve to see this church and all this opposition being birthed and prospering, continuing. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. Paul is saying, hey, look, I'm just being straight up with you. Man, have you ever dealt with contractors? We're doing it right now with the church, okay? And I just ask for one thing. Be straight up with me. Okay? Don't sit there and try to convince me, and don't try to tell me you're making this great deal for me, or don't try to convince me. Just be straight up. Just tell me what I'm dealing with. Tell me what you really can do, and then come through. Isn't that refreshing when you get that? And more is becoming more rare, because there's games being played and manipulation and anything to get you signed the contract. And after you feel like you've been lied to, and maybe even you weren't lied to, it's just they're doing their job. I mean, I had 10 salespeople underneath me. I know what they're up against. They have a quota every month that they have to meet. Paul is saying, look, I'm not trying to trick anybody. I'm not manipulating anybody, and I am not in error. What I'm telling you is truth. What I'm telling you is founded. What I am telling you is the Word of God. You can bet your bottom dollar on this one, continuing. On the contrary, Paul says, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our heart. God is testing our heart right now. Even as we're hearing these words, even as we get the pat answer, he's testing us. He's challenging us a little bit. He's saying, yeah, but what about that boss you used to have that you wanted to please? What about yourself? And Mike, you gotta have a balance here. You can't just be your nose to the grindstone. Your nose will get shaved off. You gotta have some balance. You gotta have some fun in life. You gotta have some pleasure of yours. You gotta take care of yourself. God doesn't want us to simply work. He knows we'll drop. That's why he instituted the Sabbath in the first place. He said, you know, you guys are you got it wrong. You're working 7 days a week. You're burning yourself out. After a while, you're gonna be no good to anybody. So, he's not saying we shouldn't please people and we shouldn't please ourselves. He's saying we should please God first. And I gotta tell you, if we simply woke up every morning with that mantra that we were going to please God and everything we did, wow, things would go a lot smoother. Wow, things would be a lot less complicated. Wow, I think things would just run smooth. But it's really, I mean, I'm just being straight up, okay? It's really difficult to do that. It's really, it's good for a while until the next challenge. It's good for a while until that next temptation. It's good for a while until you can't pay the bill. It's good for a while. But we need to make it good permanently. You know, one of the things that we'll be talking about with the baptism is to pray 5 minutes a day, every day, concentrated prayer, or more. It's a game changer. It's a reminder. Another thing we'll talk about is being filled with the Holy Spirit and asking the Holy Spirit to fill us. That's a game changer. Because we lose the amnesia for a minute. We get reminded every day that the Holy Spirit of God is in us. We get reminded that what we're supposed to be doing is pleasing God. We get reminded that the rest of this is kind of growing dim again. We get a reminder continuing. You know, Paul says, we never use flattery. We never tried to pump you guys up. Never told you you were all the greatest. Nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. A mask. You know, we did this thing with the young people one time. And I'd just come out of college. I was going in for like some kind of writing or something. And so I came across this poem. I don't have it with me. I think it was by John Donne. And it's called The Mask. It is a very profound poem. I'm not all into that poetry thing, but, you know, poetry's cool. But The Mask talks about how we all wear a mask. And that we only let people see what we want them to see. And so these young people did this play up on stage when they did a youth service for youth, and they acted out this whole thing about wearing a mask. They had this young man who was like, you know, the football guy, the star of the team, and the most popular kid in school, and everything's going right for him. And so he's wearing this mask of everything's perfect. And in our scenario, his family was going through crisis, and his mom and dad are getting divorced, and he hasn't got any solid ground, and he's falling apart, but he's wearing his mask. He's making sure you see that he's still got it all together. But inside, he's crumbling. Paul says, I'm not wearing a mask. I'm showing you who I am. I'm being straight up with you. There's no manipulation going on. There's no ulterior motive. He says, I'm not going to sit there and pump you up and tell you how great you are so that you like me. Ever have that happen? People will do the most remarkable things to get you to like them. Or to get you to buy something. Paul's saying, I'm not into any of that. Matter of fact, I'm suffering and I'm getting persecuted, continuing. We were not looking for praise from people, he says. Remember, it's not just him, it's him and Timothy inside us, so he's got all three of them working together. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else. Even though as apostles of Christ, we have asserted our authority. Can you imagine living like that? Never having to please anybody? Never worried about what other people think? Wow, that would be a gift, wouldn't it? Can you imagine your whole life never having to worry about what other people thought? And mind you, I often think about thought bubbles. And we all have these thought bubbles, and nobody can read our thought bubbles, thank goodness, right? Sometimes it may not be a good thing if you can read my thought bubbles. But, you know, I think of us walking into a room where we don't know anyone, and that thought bubble is like, I want to get out of here. I'm really pretty nervous here. I got to put on my mask here. I got to pretend like I'm having a good time. I better initiate a conversation. I wonder if anyone, are they looking at me? Yeah, they're all looking at me now. And then what kills me is that if you've looked at all the thought bubbles, they're all saying the same thing. So I learned that when you walk into a room where you don't know anybody, you want to break that, your best way to break it is go find somebody that looks more nervous than you and initiate a conversation and make them feel comfortable. Be a servant, like Jesus says. Be a servant to that person. And then all of a sudden, magically, in an instant, all of a sudden, your apprehension goes out the window. That's the power of God. That's the power of Jesus. When we act like a servant to someone else, all of a sudden we're not so self-involved anymore. Continuing. Instead, we were like young children among you, just as a thirsty mother cares for her children. You know, moms are great. We celebrated every Mother's Day. Moms are wonderful. Moms will do anything for their children. Moms got this special gift, this special empathy, this special compassion. Dads are great, don't get me wrong. But moms have this extra thing. Women have this feeling thing. Women have this connection thing. And this child many times came out of them, or we've adopted children into our lives, but they have this bond that is different. That is this paternal bond, and it doesn't even have to be their own child, that women have this bond with children, am I right? That it is supernatural. It's special. And kids pick it up, and they know they're taken care of, they know they're nurtured. And we need to nurture people, men and women both, we need to nurture people. I talk also again about being, you know, approachable. Sometimes we're not approachable. And especially ministers who, you know, who are holier than thou, we're not approachable at all. And especially when people are feeling embarrassed or shamed, we're not approachable at all. You know, we need to be approachable. We need to look like Jesus, because Jesus is approachable. Continuing. Last verse. So we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted, I should have underlined delighted, to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. There it is. It's not just lip service. It's not just a good piece of advice. It's sharing our lives, our time, our finances even, everything and anything to help someone else out. It's sharing our own effort. It's being vulnerable enough to tell you, hey, I get nervous too. Hey, I'm not always the most confident. Hey, I sometimes wear my mask too. It is having that vulnerability of getting real, people. And we are delighted to do that. It's not an obligation. So what do we do with all this? Well, you know what? We go back to the pat answer. We please God. Only now we please God, understanding it's not so easy. Now we please God despite the circumstances. Now we please God more than other people, even when we're in a situation where we better make our boss happy. Now we please God like Sharon did and said, hey, I'll do whatever you need to do, but you're not my boss. My boss, actually, you should be glad I've got a better boss. Because my better boss is telling me to take care of this company even more than you are, even more than my paycheck is. We please God now with a full understanding of what that means, and we please God more than we please ourselves. Hear that. We please God more than we please ourselves. That is a tough one. That is really hard if we get down to it. Because we really do want to please ourselves. We really do want to have a good life. We really do want to be happy. Happy. What in the world does that mean? You don't even go into that. We want to have happiness and joy in our life. And see, that's the difference. When we have God, we have joy. And joy is beyond circumstances. Happiness is based only on circumstances. But we have joy when we please God. Let us pray. Dear Father God, I think of how you called out on that day of baptism. This is my son, whom I am pleased with. I think about in that Mount of Transfiguration where you called out from the clouds, this is my son whom I am pleased with. We ask that we please you, dear Father God. We ask that in our lives, our sole objective is to please you. We ask that we can have that understanding that if we please you, everything else will fall in place. We ask that we can help others please you by knowing you. We ask, dear Father God, that this church can be pleasing to you, that our lives can be pleasing to you, our ministry can be pleasing to you, our very soul is pleasing to you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have made that possible for us to please our Father through you and with the help of the Holy Spirit. And we give you all the praise and all the glory, dear Father God, dear Lord Jesus, dear Holy Spirit, three in one, God our Father. And we ask all of this through Jesus Christ. Amen. Simple thing to say, but it's so, so difficult to do. Because just when we think we got a handle on it, something else comes along and takes a turn, puts us in another spill. But if we could just come back to, I am a child of God. I am His child. He will take care of me. He will take care of the situation. He will take care of the building. He will take care of my children. He will take care of this world. He'll take care of this election process. He'll take care of everything and everybody. I speak Jesus over everything. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you that you have spoken your Son over everything. We thank you that you spoke your Son over our lives. We thank you that we can rely on you and we can stand on your promises. We ask that we can go and share this with somebody who needs to hear it, like walking in that crowded room and somebody's even more afraid than we are. May we be able to hold a hand and boost an ego or boost a spirit, I should say, of eagles. May we help somebody in need, but mostly may we share you with someone who needs you. This we ask through the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. We are dismissed to love and to serve. That serve word, our Lord Jesus. Have an amazing week. Tell me what's going on. Let me know. Always, always, always let me know what the challenges are so we can pray together.